Thursday afternoon, Roger and Michael riding home with you, 43 degrees. Some rain and drizzle in the area. It continues to lift off to the north if you look at our Titan storm tracking radar on WKZO.com. And the good news is, well, good news for us, is you don't have to look very far north of Kalamazoo, and that green turns to sort of an ugly pink, and then it turns blue. And the pink is the really ugly stuff, and snow is, well, snow, that's the blue stuff. And it is, we're lucky, I guess. I'm feeling much better about the drizzle at this point. Joining us now from Detroit, Jeff Gilbert, CBS news correspondent that covers the auto industry. Mixed news from Detroit today, but you and I are going to talk about the good stuff. Jeff, how you doing? Oops, I have to push.
Free at all, so I got the good news today. So yeah. That's always a plus.
Yeah. So let's talk about how well the big three are doing.
Yes, not just the big three. These are car sales figures for the domestic three and the imports. And with a few exceptions, just about everybody was up. Honda was flat. Volkswagen was down because they had a lot of strong sales last year. But everybody else had some solid sales gains. I just saw the final numbers came in, up about 9% in November over last year, when analysts were expecting about 2 or 3%. And the big difference was it was a great Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, wow. What is selling out there? What kind of vehicles are moving?
The biggest sellers at this particular point are the small SUVs, the crossovers, the car-based SUVs. Americans like utility, and you can go back even before the big SUV craze to the 50s and 60s when people bought station wagons in big numbers. People still like that convenience of being able to carry a number of other people and a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, now it's moved on to crossovers and small SUVs where they can get that convenience in a more efficient package that does a little better in terms of fuel economy. And pickup trucks are doing very well because there are a lot of new products on the market and because housing is starting to come back.
And, wait a minute. Now, I had a whole different question, but I got to go back to housing is doing well. And
well, we're relatively speaking.
Yes. How does that impact automobile sales?
Well, it impacts pickup truck sales because a lot of contractors use pickup trucks, people who work in the housing industry, as well as people who do remodeling and things of that nature. I mean, these are work vehicles, and a lot of these people, had some rough times during the recession, and they hung on to their old pickup truck for 12, 13, 14 years, and a lot of vehicles will do well over that time limit. There comes a point you need something new, and there also comes a point you want something new.
Yeah. Well, and they become increasingly unreliable. And if you're a contractor, not being able to get to your work is a problem.
That's a problem. But also, you come out and you take a look at a 2000 model year pickup or a 2000 model year car, and that's what you've been driving for the last 13, 14 years. And you go into a dealership and you go, whoa, they didn't have Bluetooth when I bought my last car. They didn't have backup cameras. They didn't have a number of safety apparatuses that we see right now. Yeah. And, the truck drove like a truck back then. This one drives like a car.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff, what about the ratio of American sales to import sales in these numbers? Do you have an impression of that?
Well, I couldn't tell you an exact ratio, but if you look at the numbers of the increase over last year of the major brands, we're leaving out small brands like Land Rover and Jaguar where any difference can be a big numerical difference. But of the major brands, Chrysler led the way with a 16% sales increase. Ford had 7%. GM was pretty much second with 14%. And, the imports, a number of them did well, too. But the increases were actually a little more pronounced with General Motors and Chrysler. They were really the big winners last month.
Yeah. We're talking with Jeff Gilbert, CBS News correspondent. Jeff, is there a difference in what the American car companies are selling versus the imports? When we talked about this just a second ago, you said the crossover SUVs. Is that true across all manufacturers? That's what's selling in the U.S. right now?
Yeah, that's what's selling in bigger numbers. It's interesting because it used to be a rule of thumb that the domestic brands owned truck products and the Japanese brands in particular had small cars. Now you'll see a domestic brand like, you know, the Chevy Sonic is made in the USA, and that's a subcompact. And Ford's Fiesta, while it's made in Mexico, is still an American-branded vehicle. So you'll see small cars from American car companies that are doing quite well, and you'll also see crossovers and SUVs from the foreign companies that are doing quite well. The one area that's still owned by American car makers, however, is pickup trucks. While you do have a Toyota Tundra, I mean full-size pickups, you do have a Toyota Tundra, and you do have the Nissan Titan, the big three still pretty much own that market. But just about everything else is a virtual battlefield for competition.
How are the vehicles that are actually manufactured in Michigan selling? What do these numbers mean for our economy?
Well, you know, I never really thought of it that way, but I'll tell you some vehicles that are big winners that are manufactured in Michigan. Cadillac CTS and ATS are flying off the shelves. They're made in Lansing. The new Jeep Grand Cherokee is doing quite well. It's made in the city of Detroit. And the new Chevy Impala, which is made partially in Detroit, Hamtramck, has been doing well. And the Ford Fusion's been doing great. And while it's made primarily in Mexico, there is some Fusion capacity that's made in Flat Rock, which also makes the Mustang, which, you know, is eased off a little bit on sales as it competes with the Chevy Camaro. But we're going to see an all-new Mustang in 2 days, and I'm going to be willing to bet you that when that new Mustang comes out, it's going to get quite a boost.
Okay. How about Mazda? When we talk foreign cars, everybody's mind goes to Toyota, Honda, Nissan. Mazda has been hanging on. Are they making a comeback? Is their product across all of the different size vehicles, are they on a comeback mode?
You know, it was a rough month for Mazda, and they're not quite on my radar because they're one of those smaller brands, but they're one of the few brands that didn't have a sales increase. And while they have some very good product, in fact, I've just been test driving the Mazda 3. It's a very nice compact car, and their sedan, the Mazda 6, is also a solid vehicle. They're still trying to get traction. They've got this Sky Active campaign, which is kind of ethereal out there. You know, nobody really knows what Sky Active is. It's basically taking all the technologies that everybody uses to improve fuel economy and trying to give it a name. So Mazda's, you know, it's really trying to get a little bit of traction out there. I won't say they're doing poorly, but they're certainly not setting the world on fire either.
Okay. And what do you attribute Honda's flat sales to?
Probably a pretty good sales month last year. Honda has been steady all year. They've done fairly well. They've rebounded nicely from the earthquake and other natural disasters a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So I would just say in their particular case, it's a matter that, you know, they're solid, but they didn't have any kind of product that jumped out at the world, something new, something that I got to have. So they're solid, nothing wrong, but nothing that was overly spectacular either.
Yeah, when you think about it, the new Accord is an evolution of the previous Accord. It wasn't a quantum leap in automotive technology.
I mean, it's a very nice vehicle, but you also now see a day. I mean, there's one of those prime examples of that's an area that for many years the Japanese car makers owned. I mean, the leaders in mid-sized cars were the Camry and the Accord. Now you've got the Fusion. You've got a new version of the Malibu coming out. You've got next year some new midsize cars from Chrysler coming out, as well as the Hyundai Sonata. So all of a sudden, you've got a midsize race that's wide open, and the Accord and the Camry don't own that category like they used to.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon, Jeff. One last question that sort of lumps all the news together. Does Detroit's bankruptcy have any impact whatsoever on the auto industry, or are they two completely separated issues?
I think they're pretty much separated issues because the car companies, two of the three, Ford doesn't have any factories or facilities in the city of Detroit. They're involved in charitable efforts, but that's about it. Chrysler has a small office there, and it does have a couple of plants in the city of Detroit. Of course, GM has their headquarters there, but anything with a bankruptcy is symbolic. The car companies pretty much run their own operations, and they're not overly affected by internal city politics and things of that nature. And, you know, as your previous guest discussed, many of these problems that involve the Detroit bankruptcy have been going on for years, so it's not like anything really changed overnight other than the people who were directly affected by the bankruptcy.
Well, I guess that's good news. The last thing we need is the auto industry to take a hit just as we get back to some relatively good times in the auto industry.
And the industry is diverse both globally and within the United States. There are plants spread out all over the country. There are only actually, four plants that I can think of that are within the borders of the city of Detroit. Everything else is spread out within the Michigan region and again, in other parts of the country and other parts of the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Always good talking with you.
Terrific. Thanks for all the great questions.
You bet. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News auto an analyst, and knows his stuff, and always fun to talk with him. 43 degrees on the outside. Michael hasn't given me the T signal at all. So you guys are doing a good job on the drive home this afternoon. We'll give you the full AccuWeather forecast coming up right after this. Weather brought to you by Westlake Drug, our family serving yours for over 35 years. And Michael is all excited. He was just bubbling with enthusiasm over something that happened in baseball. And to my knowledge, we're not even playing baseball now.
No.
So tell me, what are you all excited about, my friend?
So last night I was just sitting here at work, looking on the computer, looking at like sports websites like I always do. And then this article popped across the screen on the right-hand side, and it said, report, Doug Fister's been traded from the Tigers. So that immediately caught my attention. So I read about it, and they just said that he had been traded. They didn't name who he was traded for yet. But then came across a few minutes later that he was traded to the Washington Nationals, and they got three players back in the trade. Just, you know, three low-level guys. So this is, I think, another salary dump move, and they can move left-hander Drew Smiley from the bullpen into the rotation now. So at least they didn't trade away Max Scherzer. That would have had me all mad and stuff. But this one's okay.
Is this Fister guy, is he a pitcher?
Yes, he's a pitcher.
Okay.
Yeah, I should have stated that. He's a pitcher. The Tigers, in return, got Steve Lombardozzi, left-handed relief pitcher Ian Kroll, and minor league left-handed pitcher Robbie Ray.
Was Detroit missing a left-handed relief pitcher?
Yes, they have been searching for left-handed relief pitchers. They just re-signed Phil Koch, but he's not too great of a left-handed relief pitcher. So this Kroll guy, he looks like he can do better. He's a young guy, 22 years old, pitched 27 and one-third relief innings last year, and holding lefties to a 220 average, which that's pretty good.
Why are left-handed relief pitchers, why are they important? Why do you need one?
You need one just so you can have them face the left-handed hitters, because if you think about it, if you're a right-handed batter and you're facing a left-handed pitcher, you can see the ball better coming out of their hands, so you can pick it up quicker and hit it. But if you're a left-handed pitcher facing a left-handed batter, which left-handed batters are more rare, you need that pitcher to be able to get them out, because they're not going to be able to pick up the ball as easily off the pitcher's hand coming out.
How do you use a relief pitcher? Can you send them out for one batter, mm-hmm. and then put your regular pitcher back in?
You can't put the regular pitcher back in. You'd have to go into your bullpen and get another relief pitcher out, is what you'd have to do.
So once you take a pitcher out of the game, you can't put him back in?
That is correct.
Okay.
And then the other big Tigers news was, I thought this one was...
There's more?
There's more. And I thought this one was coming. The Tigers have signed Joe Nathan to a 2-year deal, and Joe Nathan is a closer.
Oh.
And the Tigers have been in search for one, because you remember the whole Jose Valverde debacle that happened?
No.
Okay, well, he not last year in the playoffs, but the year before against the Yankees, he ended up blowing a game in the ninth. The Tigers did eventually win the game, but then they didn't use Valverde really the rest of the playoffs. He wasn't that great, so it was closer by committee. Well, Valverde came back this year. Same thing, he didn't pan out. And then they used Benoit, and he was okay, but then down the stretch he kind of, you know, was losing a little bit. So they got Joe Nathan. So he's from Texas. He's 39 years old, and last year he saved 43 out of 46 games he pitched, and had a 1.39 ERA with 73 strikeouts in the 64 and two-thirds innings he pitched last year. So this is a really good pickup, and this is one person I thought they would go after was Joe Nathan. So I was right about that. Just want to say that. But this is a really good pickup.
Are you hurting yourself, patting yourself on the back?
Oh no, I'm not. But definitely they have a solid closer in their bullpen, which is what they've been looking for. Now, uh-huh. they could go out and re-sign Benoit and use him as a setup man, because that's what they were using him for, but I don't know. They may use Bruce Rondon for that.
Get me to the bottom line in all of this, since this doesn't make much sense to me. is this good news or bad news for Detroit?
It is good news. The bottom line is they are strengthening their bullpen. They've added the left-handed relief pitcher they've needed, and now they've got a solid closer at hand. So all they have to do now is either go sign a third baseman or a left fielder, because they're looking to put their prospect Nick Castellanos either in one of those two spots. Third base is his natural position, but if they go sign a third baseman, he goes to left field, and vice versa the other way.
Now I've got a homework assignment for you.
Oh, goody.
Yes. From now on a daily basis, I want you to tell us how many days it is till when pitchers report.
Pitchers and catchers.
To begin spring training.
Okay.
I want a daily countdown to when baseball starts.
All right.
And we'll leave that in your capable hands, Michael. Thank you for that update. I'm certain that is important. So is Western Michigan University hockey, and got a couple of opportunities coming up, both Friday and Saturday night, both at the same time, both at 6:30 p.m., on our sister station, Z96.5. Both Friday night and Saturday night, they take on North Dakota. Who's going to win that, Michael? Is North Dakota a powerhouse in hockey?
Let me research that, and I'll get back to you on that one.
Something you didn't know?
Yes.
I want to hear that. I don't know, Roger.
I don't know, Roger.
Okay. I love it when I can stump him on sports. I live for these moments. 43 degrees in Kalamazoo. Here's CBS News. Roger and Michael, and Michael has now become an expert on the North Dakota hockey program.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And how big of a threat to our friends at Western is North Dakota, Michael?
Well, North Dakota leads the all-time series against Western. They're 5-0 against them all-time. Their last meeting was in the NCAA tournament in 2012. North Dakota won the game 3-1. Their North Dakota's record this year is 5 wins, 7 losses, and 2 ties. Western is 6-5-3. So I'd say Western has a pretty good chance at getting a win against North Dakota.
What I'm also hearing is that these may be a couple of really good hockey games.
Yes, I would definitely say so. North Dakota has been to the NCAA tournament 28 times. They've won 7 national championships, and they are getting a couple of votes for the NCAA hockey rankings.
Ooh, that would be nifty if Western could knock them down.
Yeah, maybe we can get a couple of votes then.
Yeah. How many days till baseball?
Well, Tigers could report anywhere between February 14th and it looks like February 16th. They haven't locked down a specific date yet. In fact, many of the teams haven't locked down a specific date that pitchers and catchers will report.
Until we know the specific date the Tigers report.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go with the 14th.
We'll go with the 14th. And so how many days till baseball starts?
Oh, geez, I should have counted that.
You didn't?
Oh, man, I didn't.
You didn't see this coming?
No, you know what? I'm going to get on that right now.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. 590 WKZO, time is 440. The AccuWeather forecast from WKZO.com. Cloudy on and off with showers this afternoon. Expect a high of 44. We're at 43, pretty darn close. Mostly cloudy tonight, a brief shower or two. Temperatures holding steady in the mid-40s. Cloudy, breezy, and mild tomorrow. Maybe a shower in some spots and a high 54. That's the balmy day, but it's all downhill from there temperature-wise. Thursday, cloudy, brisk, and colder, 39 degrees. Again, in Kalamazoo, we have 43 degrees. We talked to Jeff Gilbert, CBS News correspondent covering the auto industry, and it looks like Michigan and the auto industry is doing okay. Well, that triggered, I wonder how this fits into where the rest of the economy is going. And when I think, where's the economy going, I think of Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst. Jill, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. We heard from Jeff Gilbert that November was a pretty good month for the auto industry. And tell me, how is the economy in general going right now?
Well, I think it's not quite as good as the auto numbers might have indicated today, because part of that was, I mean, it's a strong report, but a bounce back from the October weakness. But, you know, the economy's doing pretty well. It's growing somewhere around, let's say, 2.5 to 2.8%, depending on which numbers you believe, on an annualized basis. We are once again creating jobs, over 200,000 jobs a month over the last 3 months. And it does look like the manufacturing sector seems to be picking up some steam as we come into the end of the year. So, you know, in many ways, it looks good. It's not great. It's good.
Yeah. What do Christmas sales, the few figures we've gleaned thus far in this Christmas season, what's that telling you?
You know, I think it's a tiny bit early to say. You know, I don't want to go crazy. We did get some information from the National Retail Federation that said that total sales were down just under 3% for the weekend, right, through Thanksgiving Day through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a great sign, right, because we want to see sales up. That said, we had a tremendous Cyber Monday with mm-hmm. sales breaking all sorts of records, probably about $2.3 billion in sales. And so it's not clear whether the consumer is sort of a little bit more patient and spreading out the purchasing power, and whether we're going to start to see momentum in the next few weeks, or whether it's going to be lackluster. You know, it's hard because retailers themselves gave us very different predictions. You look at a company like, say, Macy's and Target, and they and TJX, they had very positive holiday outlooks. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But then Walmart gave a terrible assessment, and so did Best Buy. Walmart and Best Buy both said that the competition is so fierce that the prices are dropping so low that people aren't going to have to spend as much money to get their shopping done.
Ah. And you're looking at these numbers. Does the increase in Cyber Monday sales explain the 3% decrease in brick-and-mortar sales over the weekend?
Well, the 3% decrease was for both brick-and-mortar as well as for online.
I see.
So, but I will say this. I think that it's very difficult to judge based on 4 days. It
yeah.
really is. And we have a ways to go here. And I also believe that if the economy appears to be picking up speed into the end of the year, if we get a very strong jobs report, if all of a sudden people feel like, okay, maybe I will get a raise next year, even if it's a small one, a cost of living raise, right, then they might feel a little bit more entitled to get one extra gift. And that could really, you know, sort of think about this way. Is every single person out there who's shopping for the holidays gets one extra gift, that is like literally will blow out the numbers on the upside. If everyone out there says, one less gift, that kind of makes everything look terrible. So it can be as mercurial as that, but that's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Is Congress, at least the House, only has 6 more days that they can screw things up this year. Is it possible government may not do anything to mess with sales the rest of November?
It is possible, but you know that we could never count on that,
yeah,
right?
I heard that, but...
I think that what I would say is this. I think that both sides are going to be a little bit more careful not to disrupt things. I also think that we are a little bit wiser as investors not to take everything quite so seriously. We know that they'll always wait till the bitter end. So I think there's going to be some small deal on the debt and the deficit. And for those folks who wanted something big and important, maybe next time.
Uh-huh. Okay. And before I let you go, where is the stock market? When is the correction that has to come at some point?
Wait a second. If I knew the answer to that,
you'd be rich and you wouldn't have to work anymore.
That's it. Nobody knows the answer to that. And anyone who pretends to know is silly. It's impossible. So what we know is that we've gone a long time without a big correction. So it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully everybody out there has done a good job of diversifying their portfolios and not putting too many eggs in that one basket and rebalancing, making sure that your stock position is where you want it to be, and that you haven't gotten too greedy, that you're not sitting on top of some big, huge sack of company stock that could go down precipitously. So
mm-hmm.
be careful out there. Of course, you know, markets are up 25-30% this year. It's clear that we're lining up for something that won't look too good, but generally speaking, it's hard to figure out when that will happen.
Yeah. Are you seeing a relatively expected 10% correction, or do you see it potentially being more traumatic than that?
I think it's hard to say. I mean, what we know is that corrections mean more than a 10% move. A bear market would be more than a 20% move. Mm-hmm. So we've gone an awful long time, like this entire year, basically, with not any big moves. I mean, we've only gone down, I think, intra-year by a total of 6% at any one time from you know, the top to bottom. And so mm-hmm. that's just not that much. Mm-hmm. And I would expect that something around the 10% number is going to happen, because that's just the probability. You know, that's what markets do. They take a breather. And if you're sitting there and you're saying, oh, I don't want that to happen, if you're saving for retirement, you're saving for the long term, you should want it to happen. You should want there to be dips. You should want things to go down so you can buy them cheaper. And you should be very clear that that's what a healthy market does. It corrects, doesn't go straight up.
Right. Always good talking with you, Jill.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking time to join us this afternoon.
Take care.
Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst. So there you've heard it. Jeff Gilbert from Detroit said November was decent for the auto companies. A lot of that, according to Jill, making up for a really crappy October. Nonetheless, good news there. And unless Congress does something really foolish, we all know they're capable. But unless they do, we may see good economic news through the end of the year. Have you done your calculation there, Michael?
I have done my calculation.
I know you held it up, but I couldn't read your writing. How many days till spring training?
Not counting today and counting February 14th, there are 73 days until pitchers and catchers report.
73 days till the boys of summer come back to work.
Yeah.
Boy, you sound like a Tiger fan.
Yes, and a baseball fan, too.
Oh, okay.
Because I actually have more than one favorite team.
We'll have to talk about that sometime. Disloyal to the Tigers?
No.
Now I'm getting worried about you.
Oh, man.
We'll talk after this. You've gone and spoiled it. Something's happened on the roads. I thought we'd make it through the whole afternoon without you flashing the big T on me, but
yeah.
What's going on?
All right, just had a tipster report that there's an accident on Oakland Drive on the northbound side in the right-hand lane, and the emergency vehicles are on the scene, and this accident's between north of Milam and just south of I-94.
So northbound Oakland Drive,
mm-hmm.
north of Milam, south of 94.
Yep.
And it's down to one lane?
Yeah, the accident's in the right-hand lane, so
okay.
Most likely down to one lane.
So traffic is getting past, it seems. But if you can avoid that on your way home, that'd be a good thing, huh?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Mostly cloudy on and off with drizzle and showers this afternoon. 43 degrees as we speak. Mostly cloudy tonight with a brief shower or two. Temperatures holding steady in the mid-40s. Mostly cloudy, breezy, and mild tomorrow. A shower in spots and a high in the mid-50s. Not bad for December, huh, folks? Thursday, mostly cloudy, brisk and colder, and a high of 39. And from there, we start a slow slope downhill. And some reinforcing cold air coming at the end of the weekend. And that may bring some lake effect snow. But it's December. What should we expect? Again, 43 degrees in Kalamazoo. And 73 days till baseball starts. So if you're depressed that it's winter out there, Looking forward to Christmas and New Year's is not enough to cheer you up, then perhaps knowing it's 73 days till the boys of summer put on their work clothes and go back to work. Have you ever gone down to Florida for spring training?
No, I haven't.
I think that we ought to send you this year.
Ooh, sweet.
We ought to get you a little video camera, or I can loan you my little one, and we'll send you down there, and you could do live reports right from Winter Park. Is that where the Tigers go?
Is that in Lakeland?
I don't know. I'm asking, you're the sports guy. Don't ask me questions.
I know it's
this doesn't work this way. I ask you questions, Michael.
I know they play in Lakeland, Florida. I know that.
Okay. Lakeland, not Winter Park. Somebody else must go to Winter Park. Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we'll send you down to Lakeland.
Do I get to talk to the players?
Yeah.
That would be a little nerve-wracking at first for me, but I would get over that.
Why? Are you nervous talking on the air here?
No, I'm not nervous
at
all.
Why do baseball players make you nervous?
Just because it's like they're big stars. They're on TV and everything.
But you're a big star. You're on radio.
That's true.
Yeah. I want to get your autograph before I leave this afternoon. 43 degrees in Kalamazoo, and a cool down as we get beyond tomorrow. Enjoy the warm weather while we've got it. And a good weekend for hockey. We already talked about that. A good weekend for Western's basketball team. On Saturday, they take on Northwestern at 4:30 p.m. And, Michael, I'll talk to you about Northwestern's. I'm giving you a hint on possible questions for tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll need to know, how's Northwest?
Traffic Station is 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.